Welcome to Let's Talk Health, a community radio initiative of the Community Health and Social Services Network, CHSSN, funded by McGill University Training and Human Resources Development Project. Our show today is Online Addiction with Danielle Pinsonneau, Psychoeducator in Dependencies. My name is Kelly Howarth, and I will be your host. So I'll start by introducing Danielle Pinsonneau. You may remember Danielle from our pilot show last year on dependencies, first aired on CJMQ. Danielle Pinsonneau has worked in drug and alcohol and gambling addictions involving teens and adults since 1991. She currently works as psychoeducator with the Centre Jean-Patrice Chiasson in Sherbrooke. Hi, Danielle. Welcome and thank you for being here to talk about online addiction today.
Well, thank you for having me.
So tell us about online addiction, Danielle.
Well, although there's all kind of potentially addictive online behaviors, such as compulsive email checking, surfing pornography, visiting chat room, playing in places like MySpace or Facebook, or even just surfing on the net for information, I want to address the issue of online gaming and even online living. I think they're the one that we have been asking to support people into these problems. Basically, online addiction is any abuse of internet that has us online for hours at a time, and that has us neglecting our lives in favor of online activities, or in some cases, an online life.
So what do you mean by an online life as it relates to gaming and the dangers of addiction?
What is particularly concerning are MMORPG games, or massively multiplayer online role-playing games. These are games where a large number of players from around the world can interact with one another in a virtual world. You actually assume a character or a persona, create what is called an avatar, and which is like a cartoon figure. So if you can visualize that and navigate in the virtual world, or in world as players, you call it. Players call kind of the internet world an in-world. They go in that world kind of thing. It's so, and they call the real world off-world or something like that.
Okay.
So, and in Wikipedia, I did some research. It defines the game as, in all RPGs, players assume the role of a fictional character, and mostly fantasy world, and take control over many of that character's actions. MMORPGs are distinguished from single-player or small multiplayer CRPGs by the number of players and by the game's persistent world, usually hosted by the game's publisher, which continues to exist and evolve while the player is away from the game. That's one thing that is very important, that kind of games, is that once you're out, the game keeps going, so people are really wondering what happens to their character or to other characters while they're not there. So it kind of brings them back to the game, knowing that the game keeps going. And their MMORPGs are very popular throughout the world, with combined global membership in subscription and non-subscription games exceeding 15 million as 2006 from Wikipedia. We have all those informations.
Okay, and what are some examples of some of these games?
There's a Second Life, The Palace, and EverQuest that are more adults, meaning you must be 18 to play. And then there are the ones many kids and teens play, such as World of Warcraft, RuneScape, Guild Wars, and among others.
Okay, but 18 to play, but that doesn't mean that kids under 18 can't join in these supposedly adult games.
It's good that you asked me that question, because actually I have a personal example of that. My kid wanted to go and play on an 18 and asked me to register for him. But actually he was quite young. He didn't do it by himself, and I said no. But I guess, you know, 14 years old or so, you know, easily can put a wrong age, you know, put themselves as an 18, 19-year-old player. And there's no way for the game, the game to check, you know, if the person's really 18. Mm-hmm. Unless sometimes, you know, they ask for credit cards, but there's a lot of games that don't ask for credit cards, so that are free to play. And it's really tricky there. And
so what we're really talking about here then, Danielle, is about online gaming addiction.
Yes. And what is interesting in the promotion of those online gaming is that they're promoted as an escape from what? Moreover, there is very little information on there about the dangers of it. So they suggest, you know, it's good to escape real life, which, you know, we all need a break sometimes from real life, but to be promoted that way, it's, and not saying, you know, it could be dangerous, it's a bit of a problem. Professionals are very hesitant to classify online addiction along those of gambling, drugs, and alcohol as an addiction, but we see that it's going that way, and even the DSM manual, which is the manual for diagnosing psychological disorder and diseases, are starting to think about and debating about whether this to list gaming or online addiction as psychological or disorder or disease.
So then, how is online gaming addiction the same as or different from other addictions such as gambling, alcohol, or drugs?
From my point of view, it's not that different. Sure, you know, you're not physically addicted as alcohol or drugs, but as gambling, we see that, you know, there's no physical there's nothing going in your body for gambling. But gaming is about the same as gambling in terms of disrupting the way your brain is working. It creates a compulsion just like other addictions. While you don't become physically addicted to gaming as, you know, cigarettes and alcohol, there's physical effects from not taking care of yourself, from being on the computer too long, too tired. It creates sometimes even some depression states. So it creates a lot of things like addiction. And sure, the behavior is just like an addiction behavior, seeking and wanting more and more and more and having this in your head all the time. And if you're not playing, you think of it, and if you're playing, you don't think of other things. So, and you forget your responsibilities and all that.
So who does online gaming addiction affect?
As we think, you know, we see kids on computer and on all kind of games as PlayStation and things like that. We might think that kids are more mostly the one that are addicted to it, but what we see is about the average of online gamers is 29 years old, and we see a lot of adults being on the computer for work and for all kind of other things a lot more than we see kids. So it can be anyone of any age, and it can be someone who is particularly vulnerable due to life circumstances at that time. Someone might just go on with their life very fine, and suddenly they're struggling with some difficulties, and it happens that they find the relief in the game, they find relief in that behavior, and it becomes more and more, and it's feeding, you know, the feeling of good feeling. So while they're on the game, they don't think of other problems or their difficult times, and it just creates that way, it just goes on that way.
Okay, so what you're saying is if you're getting good feelings from playing on the game, you want to play more.
Exactly. As you know, when we get a good feeling of having a drink, we might want more. And this is someone that goes through life difficulties are more at risk to develop any addiction. Some can just stumble into gaming, some others in gambling, some others in chocolate or in alcohol. Or shopping. We see all that. The people that develop addictions, sometimes they might have an addictive personality, but most of the people, it's because they're very vulnerable at that time of their life and they find relief into that behavior. And it's really easy to reproduce that behavior. You know, the computer, the game is always there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You don't have to plan it. You don't have to organize things around it. Once you bought your membership, then you can go on and it's not costing you anymore. So it's really, really easy, which, you know, if you go through a hard time and you need to see friends or you need to organize an activity to go cross-country skiing, the weather's not on your side and things like that, it makes it very difficult. So it's easier to get into that type of behavior to relieve your suffering than to go, you know, a long way and make it really, really difficult to organize something that would make you feel better, but it's a little harder. So sometimes we seek for easy answers, and gaming is one of those easy answers that, too bad, but in the long way, it could be also a part of becoming the main problem.
Okay. So how can you tell if you are online addicted or addicted to online gaming?
There's a little researcher that started evaluating, and they suggest some elements that are very similar to other elements of addictions. So I'll just go through them. As if you have problems caused by being online so much, do you continue to be online for huge amounts of times despite these problems? Do you find yourself trying to set limits on the amount of online time but then fail to stay within those limits? Do you feel guilty about being online or about the things you do while online? Do people around you have a problem with the amount of time you are spending online? And this is particularly an issue when you are in a relationship or have a family. Do you deny or try to hide the real amount of time you are spending on gaming from your friends and family? Do you feel irritable or edgy when you want to go online and cannot? Are you constantly thinking about being online when you are not? Or do you carry the game around in your head, as I was saying, even when you are not playing? And they say if you answer many of these questions, and even few of these, just a couple of these questions, then chances are you are dealing with a more than an average use of internet, specifically online gaming, and may have a problem. And
so given these questions, then, what tangible effects might online addiction have in your life?
It can, it could affect your health by neglecting, your eating, neglecting some signs sometimes of a disease or neglecting exercising. Some people saw themselves gaining a lot of weight, after a couple months spent into those games because they didn't exercise anymore. They didn't go walk the dogs anymore. So they started gaining weight. It can create very much conflicts with your family if you're not there, to have meals with them. You're not there to share family activities as you used to be or as, it would be good for you to do. You can neglect your work. If you spend too much time on the game at night, then next morning you're not as in a good shape to go to work. And then, it can create, unsatisfaction at your work. You might get criticized from your boss. Then, it's kind of a vicious circle. You're not happy at your work, so you go back to the game because you're happy in the game. And then the next morning, you're even more tired, and then, you don't find satisfaction in your work. So it goes on and on and on, and it can create all kinds of problems like that.
So some people say, though, that you can just quit playing online. Or can you really just do that?
It's one possibility. Some people do that because if they just try to reduce, they find themselves going back. They find themselves pulled back also by the people playing with them, saying, okay, I'm going now. And people say, oh, don't go, we're having fun, Just like, if you'd be in a bar or at a party and someone, just have another beer, So you find the same reality. So for some people, the best way is really to disconnect, uninstall the game, and just stop playing. It's the best. For a lot of people, it's the best way. We know that, in addiction, we see people able to reduce slowly till they're quitting, as with cigarettes. Some people start quitting slowly. A lot of people need a patch to quit because they cannot just quit cold turkey, and they try to reduce and find themselves, after a little while, starting smoking again. So there's all kind of possible ways, but I think a sure way is really to cut it off, to uninstall the game, and deal with the grieving that comes with it, with the craving also. And the craving will go away after a while. It's just, you just need to stop long enough and say, okay, it'll pass, and seek for support also.
So you're saying try to get back to a normal life, to doing activities that you would normally do?
Yes. Gaming, addictions in general, fulfill someone's needs. if they're lonely or they're going through a time where they don't feel very confident in themselves, why addiction is fulfilling that need, because it brings them a false sense of confidence while they're drinking or while they're on the game or things like that. So to stop gaming, to stop the addiction, you need to look inside of you and see what the needs that you don't take care of or that needs to be taken care of, and really work into yourself and try to find ways to fulfill those needs. It's very personal to all person. It could be a different answer, but sure, you have to work on your life, work on finding a better balance, find fulfillment in your life. If you don't have fulfillment in your life, sure, addiction will try to fulfill that empty spot in yourself. And since you don't find, or till you don't find that empty spot and how to fulfill it in a way that it helps you have a happy life and a sense of really well-being in your life, then there's some spaces to create or develop addiction.
So as we wrap up, Danielle, what resources are out there for anyone dealing with this issue of online gaming addiction?
There's a program of 12 steps that works. There's some professionals that are now advertising themselves that they can help, such as counselor psychologists. Here at the center, we're starting to support people in their seek or in their efforts to break away from their addiction, from their gaming addiction and internet addiction. There's also some sites. It sounds a little bit contradictory, but there's actually Dr. John Suler that has a wonderful site. Maybe I can give the address, and I'll give you some of the address that you can find on the on the internet. The John, yes, I have netaddiction.com and /company_info.htm. That's Dr. Kimberly Young of the Center for Online Addiction.
Okay.
And there's another one, www.swissgamers.net. I think from those sites, I have others, but I think from those sites, you probably will have links, plenty of links to find help and be able to read on the topics and maybe try to prevent it. If you are a gamer, if you're starting to find yourself playing a little more than you want to, or telling people that you're working, but you're actually going back and forth, you know, between your game and your work. So these are little signs that you might, you know, want to ask yourself the question, is this game starting to get control over my life, you know, taking control over me? And am I neglecting my work, my family, my life because of my in-life in the net? So you might want to ask yourself those questions, and you can give us a call at the center.
And what is your center's number?
It's 819-821-2500. And you asked to talk to me, to Danielle Pinson. I'm right now in charge of developing this aspect of our services. So I'll talk to you and see what we can do for you.
Wonderful. Thank you, Danielle, for talking to us today about online addiction, specifically gaming addiction, and the need to be aware of the power and pull of online gaming.
Mm-hmm.
We hope that you, our listeners, have learned more about this important topic. I'm Kelly Howarth, your host for Let's Talk Health. Thank you for joining us. Have a great day.